Good evening.
Good evening. Judy.
We're going to be starting in 3 or 4 minutes. Welcome, Judy. We're going to be starting in 3 or 4 minutes.
Okay,
my
thank
computer
you.
Needs to restart, so.
Okay, thank you. Brandela. Hi, Brandy.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We'll be starting in a few minutes.
Okay.
Thank you. Very soon, about one more minute. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa. Gedula Jimmy. Serura. Abegi. Yotaza. Kabel Rinat, Hasag Benu, Saharin, Noah, Kupo Chayan, Sintet Nun, Nagibor, Gorse Yehud Cha, Kivavad, Ram, Mugi,
Da,
Da,
Yo,
Yo,
Ka,
Ka, Shu,
Shu.
Yud Ka Shin is a healing sequence that allows us to take any part of our body that needs healing back to its stem cell state, where it can be cleansed, where it can be healed, where it can be rejuvenated, and then returning it to the body in its newly recreated pristine state, where it will again do its job as it was created to do, perfectly. Okay. Ray. I've lost it.
Ta ta.
Bedhead. Ta ta. Ta.
Ki.
Gi. Kasim Kadosh.
Kadosh.
Seruha. Ael. Adata. Het Kufet. Het Lunayan. Yafid Gea. Lamcha. Zo. Praise. Shiko.
Wa.
Wa.
Ta.
Ta. Yo.
Yo. Ta.
Ta. The four verses that we read, Samuel Bet, chapter 7, verse 10. Wasam ti makom leami un tati vishakan taka filo yai od vilo yosi fu vene adla la anoto asya vishona. And the three verses from this year, Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kamalo,
low
And then First Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. And then the third verse, chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanet And the verse from the Zohar from the Parashah of Shlach Lecha, Pasuk 2, in the second section.
Which section?
The second section.
Okay, thank you.
L'shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkin Te Bidchilu Urchimu Udchilu Udchilu Urchimu L'yachda Shem Yudke Bavavke B'Yehuda B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Diamar Rabbi Yesa Kadnate Shimsha Bid Halash Kedain Eat Peshtat Tach Achad Petihu Beshimsha Bid Kanish Kaleya Ushmala Shalit Bid Hakire Bera Bechotea. As Rabbi Yessa said, when the sun is about to set, that is Zeron Pin and is losing its strength, meaning past midday, an aperture in the sun opens, the door of the domination of the left, and the sun's power is gathered in, that is Zeron Pin in the central column, and the left reigns. Isaac, who is the left column, digs a well underneath it, which is Malchut that suckles from the left, and then he establishes her. What is the meaning of he establishes her? In my opinion, the translation would be better served if we said he builds her, or he forms her. In this discussion, he represents Isaac. Isaac is a metaphor for the soul after the Mashiach, or the soul after the tikkun, the correction. To understand this concept, we need to understand the concept of why do we fear judgment. The answer is due to our inner soul knowledge that we have not truly completed our work, and therefore there will be pain and suffering and chaos unless we hurry and complete it. We also know that we probably will not be in a hurry to complete it, and therefore the chaos will manifest in our life. This verse in the Zohar is telling us when we complete our tikkun, the idea of the left column will no longer generate fear, and the light from the left column will be a good thing to build Malchut. Who is she in the above discussion? With the light of the left column, even the souls associated with Isaac will be complete and happy. Does anybody have any questions? Today's class is found in the Revealed Wisdom page, in the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, row 15, the right-hand column. It's a link to tikkun of eating, the correction of eating. And it starts out with the title, "The Eating is Our, All of Us, Tikkun." The introduction. The first mistake, which many people refer to as the original sin, was eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. The Kabbalists explain that this mistake was not an act of free choice on the part of Adam and Chava. It was a necessary action to bring about the elevation of the sparks of the broken vessels that occurred prior to the creation of our physical world. In any event, the effect of this action was the spiritual fall of humanity. The meaning to us, according to the sages, we each must correct. We must fix our portion of that mistake by affecting the tikkun of eating to the extent we are able. It will take us to manifest Mashiach to achieve this tikkun. Yet we cannot put this off to the future. The writings of this book below is a motivation to achieve that effect. Correct the sinful aspect of eating. It's also taught in Kabbalah that we will not complete the correction of eating until the Mashiach manifests, as he is necessary, the quantum consciousness is necessary to affect that for all of us. The book Eating as Tikkun was written by Sarah Yehudith Schneider. Ms. Schneider is the author of You Are Who You Hate, which is a class taught on our website. Just as the unexpected was taught in that book, you will find many unexpected teachings in this book with respect to how you perceive food and its purpose. Most people have not considered why food is the source of energy, and that is the first question to ponder as you read and hear this class and these recordings. In every moment of life, a person makes tikkun. The universe comes closer to its messianic message, and Hashem's purpose for creation nears completion. Sometimes this is obvious, sometimes not. Sometimes it seems that the very opposite is true, that the moment leaves damage and not repair. These back or wrong way tikkunim cause great suffering to those who choose these paths, to those who act against Hashem's law. But despite this, progress does get made. No one with wisdom would knowingly choose such a pain, for the cost of suffering surpasses its gain. My commentary. And I forgot to say the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach, so I'm going to do that now. Please say the eighth verse in a whisper. The above paragraph is the opinion of Ms. Schneider. I respectfully disagree. My opinion follows the following. Hashem creates the world many times a minute, as we are taught in Kabbalah. Each time the creation is made perfect, perfect for the consciousness and the need to affect tikkun for all of the peoples of the earth. Therefore, the suffering cannot surpass the gain. If it would do so, Hashem would recreate the world in a different aspect of perfection. Understand this well. Each moment brings fixing of tikkunim are not the same. They vary in quality and quantity, strength and character. Some fixings touch large areas of creation, but only bring them forward a micro step. These are high in quantity, low in quality. Others touch only a minute piece of reality and raise it through seven heavens. These are high in quality and low in quantity. And I am adding, Some are high in both quantity and quality, while some are low in both quantity and quality. The main tikkun of a human life, at least quantitatively, happens through eating. It is strange but true that eating is a powerful spiritual action. The primary way the world gets elevated is through its food chain, by creatures eating and being. The molecules of energy units of a lower life enter into the higher creatures that has consumed them. There they break down and absorb the more advanced body structure of their predator. My commentary. Do you agree with this statement? Is there any supporting proof? Let us look at the statement again. One entity eats or consumes another. Which is the higher entity and which is the lower? Of course, a human eating a sandwich is the higher eating the lower. What about cancer eating the liver? Which is higher and which is lower? What about a parasitic insect living off its host? Which is higher and which is lower? What about the mother eating its children, as the Polynesian culture includes examples of this, with its sculpture and art? I have seen such a sculpture. It is not meant to depict all mothers, and not even all mothers in the Polynesian culture, just an individual situation. The Kabbalah teaches that the law must be true for all situations. How do we reconcile these perceived differences? Continuing to read. Excuse me. This is an evolutionary progression of the eaten one. The consciousness that it used in its original form was lower than that which fills it now. The more complex organism, the more sophisticated the soul that manifests through it. Each level of life is a wider angle lens which brings a new increment of consciousness into focus. Divinity alone possesses infinite consciousness. And I am adding, everything else is by definition lower in consciousness, since it is not everything. My commentary. The author is expressing the following application of a spiritual law. There is no disappearance in spirituality. Therefore, when one entity consumes another, the consuming entity breaks down the energy of the consumed entity. Using what it can most efficiently utilize and sending the waste out for other entities to dine upon, it thereby is teaching that sharing is the most efficient form of service to the Creator. Yet the consumed entity has not disappeared. Its body may have been lost, but its essence is now being utilized and filled by the consuming entity, which is considered higher by virtue of it still being alive, survival of the fittest, expressed in a hierarchy. Consciousness is most simply defined as the range of an entity's capacity to react and interact with its environment. The higher the creature, the more expressions of consciousness can manifest through it or within it. The spiritual benefits of the chain are twofold. First, as part of the higher organism, the one accesses a deeper facet of Hashem than was available to it before. The body of each creature is bathed by the consciousness that infuses it. The higher the organism, the higher the soul, the greater its range of options to react and interact with the world. Since according to this hierarchy, rather the only real and enduring pleasure is the bliss of expanding consciousness. The one who is eaten will in the end rejoice in its fate. As part of a higher organism, it can contact higher soul states and expanded possibilities of awareness. There is a real pleasure in this, even if for something that loses its physical bodily form or matter. Second, the original organism, the one, moves up in the world. It participates in a greater revelation of divinity than was possible in its previous form. And since it provides the energy and materials for this higher rate of consciousness, it gets merit for that. I am adding, this greater revelation of divinity is the ability to utilize the consciousness of the eaten item to raise its consciousness. In Kabbalah, consciousness is defined as desire. Thus, the greater the energy, the greater the desire, the greater the consciousness. The second benefit of the food chain, it is when the human being touches a higher state of consciousness in his or her meditations on the oneness of Hashem and the performance of mitzvot, even if only performed at least partially so. Only humans can actively and consciously serve Hashem. All other creatures move from a further distance away from Hashem. Since Hashem willed their existence for a definite purpose, they also serve Hashem simply by living and doing their genetically programmed thing. But to serve Hashem from love, or off to willingly sacrifice for one's benefit, to strive for tikkun and personal transformation, the labor is Hashem's holy partner in the painstaking work of bringing creation to its messianic perfection. These are uniquely human service offerings when they are actions done consciously. When a human being eats food and uses its calories as fuel for performing mitzvot, good deeds, and studying Torah, the food itself not only participates in these acts, but is credited for enabling them. By assimilating into a human body that moves, speaks, and serves Hashem, a lower life form gets elevated to the highest possible degree. My commentary. The laws expressed in the above paragraph are spiritual laws. The very important teaching is the idea of enabling receiving merit in the spiritual worlds of judgment. In our modern society, to enable has come to mean an improper act, such as the family of the alcoholic, which enables the alcoholic to be an alcoholic. Just as the food source receives merit for enabling the eater to do good deeds, that food source does not get the demerits when the eater does wrong deeds by his or her free choice. How does this relationship work in the other areas of human interaction? The law applies over many aspects, starting with food. If one perceives our human interactions as enabling or not enabling, one can learn to judge yourself in this world the way the spiritual Bet Din judges us. If we do this judgment with this spiritual law, there will not be a need for the spiritual Bet Din to judge us. This is what our sages teach when they say, judge yourself closely so that Hashem will not judge you. The food chain in this mutually elevating sequence of spiritual benefits goes both ways. The meal nourishes the body and carries sparks of consciousness that feed the soul. This is how Kabbalists read the verse. Man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceeds from the mouth of Hashem. Bread alone feeds the body. All that proceeds from the mouth of Hashem carries sparks of light inside the food that enlightens the soul. Kabbalah groups the world into lights, and vessels, roughly paralleling energy and matter. Souls are lights and bodies are vessels, which are the matter of form that the lights take in this physical world. Strangely, the simplest life forms contain the highest lights. The spark originates in the earliest moments of creation, closer to the time when Hashem was only expressing his and your simple oneness. As creation unfolded in the physical world, in the idea of Kabbalistic evolution, life in the bodies became more complex. Yet curiously, the lights of these more sophisticated vessels are lower than those of simpler forms. They originated later in the sequence of creation, farther from its starting point of pure, simple oneness. The rule is stated thus: the criterion of higher in relation to sparks is its measure of access to oneness. The earliest and simplest creatures are most advanced on that scale. The criterion of higher in relation to vessels is their complexity, which enables them to manifest a greater range of consciousness and diversity of behavior. A paradox emerges. While the greater measure of consciousness manifests complex light, their soul's intrinsic capacity, two and four awareness, is lower than form the primitive creatures. Conversely, the spark inside simpler organisms actually carries a greater transcendent possibility of awareness through their vessels, cannot express the full measure of these lights. My commentary. Perfection is when the proper light finds and is revealed in the proper vessel. The process of Kabbalistic evolution is exactly when the proper light is in the wrong vessel. The process continues until the correct vessel is revealing the correct light. It is similar to what the Kabbalists teach is wrong with theft. The light within the item stolen does not belong to the thief, but to someone else. There is nothing wrong morally with stealing, only taking what light does not belong to you. Since most people do not know if the light in the item belongs to them, taking into account bread of shame, society enacts laws against stealing. That is one of the seven mitzvot of the children of Noah. I hope this clarifies the above paragraph. The rock is so overwhelmed by its awe of Hashem that it cannot move. This is why the mineral kingdom is silent and still. Similarly, a person stunned by startling information freezes due to shock, not because he lacks the feeling of motivation, but because he is flooded with the emotions and is paralyzed by this becoming overawed. In this way, the raw materials of creation and the inanimate world hold the highest lights in their form, in there from the primitive vessels. Conversely, the human kingdom, the crown of physical creation, has awesomely sophisticated vessels, when in actual fact, more lowly lights. My commentary. The above paragraph is very difficult to understand. How can it be that the lights of a man's soul are lower than the lights of a hydrogen atom? What is the food chain for a hydrogen atom? It grows or is eaten to become a helium atom, and eventually a carbon atom, and more. This is eating as well. The only way to understand this concept is to utilize the metaphor of the Kabbalists. The higher the sparks of light of the broken vessels, the lower into the mud of the klipah that they fell. Therefore, they have a higher distance to travel to elevate themselves back to the correct Sephirah. Hopefully, this will help you relate to the above paragraph. There is another way to comprehend this idea. Our physical world, when fully completed, will not be in a state of perfection. It will be necessary for the world to evolve through 5 additional creations of 7,000 years each, so that all of the sparks of light will find themselves in the proper vessel for that spark of light. When a person eats, physical nutrients feed his body, and the food gets elevated, thereby for its molecules to become absorbed into a higher structure that does conscious action in holy service. Yet the sparks in the food actually elevate the human, for their roots are higher than his own. They had a splinter of light soul, and with the new increment of consciousness, the expanding awareness of each life reduces to the one spiraling insight. There is nothing but Hashem. The food spark brings a new possibility of grasping this truth as the human soul expands with its light. There is, however, a catch. Just as a physical nutrients pass through unabsorbed through the digestive tract without proper enzymes to digest it, so is this true for their spark. Unless a person eats with the proper kavanah, the proper intention, its cache of light is not available to the soul and leaves only the slightest trail of glow when it passes through the system. That's the end of the first chapter. Does anyone have any questions? I know the chapter was a little deep, and it causes us to think differently about what food is and what eating is, and it needs to be contemplated in order to affect the tikkun, for you to affect the tikkun of eating for yourself as your share in the mistake of Adam and Chava. The dangers of eating is the second chapter. Kabbalah identifies 3 categories of action. One is a mitzvot, a holy and obligatory deeds. 2 is forbidden activities, and 3, neutral behaviors that are neither our obligation nor forbidden. They are only permitted. The actions of mitzvot are intrinsically holy. Whatever intentions a person does or does not hold, the deed itself has been the fact. This means literally a commanded act. Hashem explicitly requests the 613 actions in their physical performance to serve Hashem's revealed will. My commentary. It is well known and mentioned frequently by me that Hashem does not command the performance of a mitzvah. This is considered idol worship. Hashem has made a gift of the mitzvot to allow us to choose to connect with his essence and his energy through the performance of these mitzvot. The consciousness an individual has at the moment of doing the mitzvah is necessary to receive all of the benefits provided by that action. The consciousness needs to be the individual's free choice to do the mitzvah or to refrain from doing the mitzvah. If the individual is never presented with an option to do a mitzvah that is referred to as do not do, that individual does not receive all of the effect of doing his obligation. An example is, do not eat non-kosher food. If one is never presented with an opportunity to go out of his kosher home to eat, that individual does not receive as much benefit as someone presented with a non-kosher item who chooses to decline the gift of that food. Kabbalah teaches that mitzvot draw light down from above to below. This can be understood as follows. In the physical world, light enables the perception of something that was already present, but hidden in darkness. For example, the objects in the room are there, but you can't see them until you turn on the light. Similarly, in the spiritual world, light refers to the process of reviewing godliness by illuminating Hashem's presence in that moment or object. While it is true that the whole world is filled with God's glory, that he provides for creation and nothing exists apart from his constant nurturing, this presence stays hidden to the senses. When mystical writings speak of drawing down light, they refer to the act of revealing Hashem's omnipresence and his participation in the world consciousness and being perceptible. I am adding, people usually refer to this as the great, incredible feeling of goodness. Eventually, this feeling can become refined enough to differentiate between levels of energies and the types of energies being revealed. When Adam and Eve were created, they were given to the ability to sense what action or thing was good for them and what was evil for them. After the sin, they and we lost this ability. Yet we are capable to using this sense to know what is good for us and what is not good. This takes practice and spiritual growth. The 613 Torah mitzvot are called 613 pillars of light. The numerical value of the Hebrew word orot, lights, is itself 613, to teach that mitzvot are actions to make Hashem's presence visible. The classic explanation of Hasidic teaching, the Tanya, explains that in the same way that the innermost essence of a person is the place of his deeply held hopes, dreams, and desires, so is this true for Hashem? His will, as expressed by his commands, derives from its innermost essence and is essentially united and even identified with him. Therefore, when a person obeys his will, performing the mitzvah, he or she is identified with Hashem's will, and Hashem becomes revealed in that moment. Similarly, when earthly king's commands are obeyed by the populace, his will is made visible, literally. Each time the subject acts in accordance with his decrees, in other words, an ignorant spectator watching the behavior of one who is faithful to the king's commands would learn from his observation what the king's will is all about. My commentary. The Torah teaches from the frame of human reference and language. Actually, Hashem does not have a desire, nor hopes, nor dreams. These words apply to human beings, not to Hashem. Why are they used in the paragraph above? To help people relate to a full and complete understanding of the mitzvot. It is my opinion that this is not a proper teaching. Rabbi Ashlag teaches that Hashem's essence is sharing, It is not a desire to share like a human being can co-create. Religious people use a vocabulary that is not a normal everyday vocabulary. In that vocabulary, the words Hashem's will is not describing a desire, but something called the plan of creation. The plan of creation is a thought that is unlike human thought. Humans need to think a thought and then manifest that thought through various modalities, speech, handiwork, and other creative processes. Hashem has a plan of creation which immediately becomes physically manifested through the four phases of creation, which is not a process, but a being. Now reread the above paragraph with this new, better understanding of the language of branches as taught by Rabbi Ashlag. And I'm going to take a minute and let you do that. Continuing to read. Therefore, when it says that mitzvot draw down light from above to below, it means that the highest and innermost level of Hashem's being, his will, becomes revealed to the outer physical world every time someone expresses that will through the physical action entailed in performing a mitzvah. Forbidden activities dull the soul and hide the truth that God is one and good and all. They bring dark instead of light. The Hebrew word asur, which means forbidden, is from the root asher, which means to tie, arrest, or imprison. The holy sparks of forbidden foods and activities are so strongly bound to the other side that instead of we elevating them, they bring us down. A human being does not have the spiritual strength to pry sparks loose from their current incrustations. Instead, if it is indulged, they callous the soul and dull the sensitivities to truth and spiritual influence. The category of neutral and permitted activities contains all the same things one may do, yet there is no intrinsic holiness in the deed. It includes academic study, the arts, business, nature walks, sports, etc. The unique feature of this category is that its spiritual value hinges entirely upon the intention one brings to the action. If one consciously seeks to serve God and good through that action, to reveal something of divine beauty or to draw close to truth and divinity, then the deed is holy. It raises sparks, elevates the person, and reveals good. If one performs that same activity with attitudes that are selfish, lustful, or ego-gratifying, then it has the same effect as doing a forbidden action. It degrades the spark, dulls the soul, and darkens the world. It is in this category that the Rav teaches that humanity's first sin was Adam and Eve's eating without proper and holy consciousness. The mistake of eating from the tree of knowledge, says Rav, was not an action of eating food or anything at all. Rather, it was a way of eating. Whenever a person takes self-conscious pleasure from the world, he falls in that moment from God consciousness and uses energy from the tree of knowledge. This subtle level of sin taints our reactions and even our mitzvot. The first entry of evil into humanity was through the active action of not holy eating. Until that fateful moment, all evil existed outside of Adam and Eve, embodied as the serpent. When Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they brought an intermingling of good and evil into themselves, into the very substance of their being. And I am adding, in religious language, this is referred to as the good inclination and the evil inclination. Whenever we eat without proper intent, the Kavanah, we repeat this original sin. The primary fixing of human civilization is to learn to eat in holiness. Adam and Eve contain the souls of all humanity, of all the people who would ever live, who would ever live in the future, the present, and the past. We were all present as a part of their consciousness and participated in their decision to eat. Consequently, we also suffered the damaging effects of their sin. All neuroses, personality imbalances, and existential dissatisfactions teaches the Torah have the root in the sin of unholy eating. Its impurity lives inside each of us as a fact of the human condition, being human. Every person has an eating disorder, for eating is a much broader category activity than simply taking food into one's mouth and body. Eating as an archetype is the experience of why and the taking inside oneself of something from outside to fill that lack. Something that was not you became a piece of you. Literally, through eating, material acquisition, sexuality, honor, seeking addiction to power, praise, drugs, or even attention are all forms of eating. They start with an experience of life and in an effort by us that adapts to our experience. One pulls something from the outside into the interior. My commentary. Please note this definition of eating is much more expansive than the traditional idea of putting food into our mouths. This definition of eating is truly feeding ourselves of anything that we lack, be it honor or glory or support from others. In effect, anything that we take is defined as eating, as long as it fulfills a desire we have. Based on this definition, does eating mean taking something even if it does not end up inside ourselves? This is not a rhetorical question. One needs to answer this question for themselves. By the time one has finished reading and participating within these classes, it is hopefully will be true that you will understand the answer for yourself of this question. The act of eating itself is neutral. It has no intrinsic holiness. But neither is it shameful or destructive. Creation does move forward simply by traveling up its food chain. But the truth of the statement, God is one and good, omnipresent, is not automatically revealed. The holy expression of eating has two criteria. The food must be kosher. Literally, we must not mix milk and meat, nor be of an animal type forbidden by Torah. Sexuality must not be adulterous. Money must not be acquired by theft, etc. In a more general sense, culture also means healthy. The Torah forbids us from doing anything that damages our bodies. This includes eating amounts or types of food that are literally kosher, but nevertheless unhealthy. I am adding, an example of this kosher but unhealthy food, which actually makes the food not kosher for you, eating foods with large salt content if one is a diabetic. The second category. One's intentions must be pure and selfless. One must consciously undertake to serve God to bring pleasure to his or her creator with one's newly acquired resource, be it food or possessions or honor or anything else. Every person struggles with some form of eating disorder. Our taking from the world is never perfectly consciousness and selfless. This was the first sin, and it remains the root of all impurities in the personality. Our literal eating is always a microcosm of the way we take from the world. Every imbalance of psyche has some corresponding and casual expression in the way we ingest food. Neuroses and psychoses are only symptoms of our unholy eating, which is always the first cause. The grabbing reflex at the root of an unrectified eating is an unconscious impulse and the last frontier of expanding consciousness. A spiritual practice is only successful if it seeps into the subconscious realms and rectifies the reflexes of its practitioners. Imparting knowledge is a holy achievement, but rectified instincts are the acid test, the potency that proves the rule. Only when a person without thinking now reacts to the world in a correct and holy way is he truly transformed by his spiritual work. The last and most subtle impurity of soul is the reflex of our unholy eating, of taking pleasure from the world in a way that causes us to forget Hashem. My commentary. What if someone does not believe in Hashem? Are they able to rectify their eating? All reactive behavior makes us forget Hashem. We do not have to believe in Hashem. We have to know the truth regarding our motivations of our reactions. That truth is that we are capable of proacting instead of reacting. When we proact, we are connected to Hashem, even if it is not on a conscious level. When we react, we cannot remember Hashem. We are disconnected on both the conscious and unconscious levels. The impulse is so deeply fixed into our collective psyche that its expression is automatic. Any behavior that operates as raw instinct, untouched by conscious decision, is still not rectified, even when its expression is wholesome and healthy. The enlightening influence of conscious awareness must spread into every layer of personality and refinement. Slowly, this is happening. The last holdout is this ancient reflex of self-absorbed taking. Its dissolution will be the final tikkun. The goal is not morbid self-affliction. We are not asked to renounce enjoyment and don sackcloth. Instead, we must learn to be in this pleasure rather than take it. This, when achieved, is a soul ecstasy in a deeply blissful state. And yet, since the ego is totally transparent, there is no taking of such self-gratification. This is the secret of rectified eating. It is helpful to understand the nature of ecstasy produced by hearing a beautiful melody. This is ecstasy that is felt, and yet the one who experiences it is not himself aware of this, because it does not result from the intention of self to produce ecstasy, but is produced automatically and comes of its own accord without it being known to him. He is at one with the music and the distinction between self and it dissolves. Similarly, it is as if it is not felt or known to him at that very moment. It can be said that there is a total lack of self-awareness, but for all that, it is still an experience of ecstasy. Since the first sin was on holy eating, only its opposite can fix it. All of the life in all of history are training humanity for one end, to learn to eat in holiness, to not let its pleasure wrench our attention from Hashem, even for an instant. The moment we get it, the labor in this world will end, and what is more, death and mortality. The bitter fruits of that sin will pass like tissue when our teshuvah is completed. My commentary. Please note that we are speaking of holy eating and not healthy eating. There is a difference. We will be discussing this difference throughout this book. The first thing to realize about the difference is the tools of Satan and how they are used. They are tailored to the individual and his relative process. If someone will pray a blessing, the Satan might cause him to eat too many calories. If someone is eating kosher, the Satan might cause him to eat non-kosher when he is out of his house. Holy eating is more than these two examples. Please remind me to discuss this in depth before the end of the class series. This is actually a good place to stop. I'm going to next week start at this paragraph. Please note that we are speaking of holy eating and not healthy eating. Does anyone have any questions? Classes this week. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, we have our 79th class in Advanced Reincarnation. Wednesday night at 7 o'clock is our question and answers series. 7 o'clock Thursday is a Zohar class where we will finish section 10 of the Parasha of Shlach Lecha. Saturday night, we will start another Zohar section at 8 o'clock West Coast time. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m., we will continue our classes on the mitzvot of the children of Noah. And again, next Monday night, we will continue this series of eating as tikkun. Please note also that there are many Zohar classes, approximately a half hour each time, starting at 7:30, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and sometimes on Sunday, but that depends on our physical location being able to be utilized. Does anybody have any questions? I wish you all a beautiful week and a great shalom, a great peace. And please understand that the Mercury, the planet Mercury, is going positive and stopping its retrograde motion on Thursday. But as a general discussion, please be aware that it's probably better to wait till Sunday to start any new projects, because while Mercury was retrograde, it appears that it has covered or gone back over the same route it had gone. And so when it turns positive, it has that distance to make up before its energy becomes fully positive. Shalom to all.
Okay.
Shalom. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.